broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Without further ado, we are live 6 days a week. If you're not aware, Saturday we were live, and we covered news that the networks refused to use. Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. We also covered the fact that Missouri is poised to be the latest state with a pro-life abortion ban. That's great news, and that was hour one. Hour two, we talked about an incredible speech by a Catholic man named Arthur Brooks. He spoke at Brigham Young University, about an 11-minute speech. We don't need to disagree less. We need to disagree better, says Arthur Brooks. What an incredible speech. We played the whole thing. It was 11 minutes long. And there you go. Incredible stuff. We broke it down in great detail. He says we need to go beyond civility, lead with love, do missionary work, understand that our Christian cause is justifiable. Arthur Brooks, great job, Catholic leader speaking at Brigham Young University. Different religions, but same cause, working together. It's just tremendous stuff, to say the least. All right, Good Guys with Guns. That's a movie now available on DVD. Moviepubs.net to learn more about it. Oath Keepers and crew involved in it. Richard Mack in the film. It's released and available now. Good Guys with Guns, making a critical point for the Republic, ladies and gentlemen, and for the proper role of God-given unalienable rights of self-defense. Just tremendous stuff. We also talked about how an armed citizenry deters tyranny and atrocities. Taiwan's legislature sadly voted to legalize same-sex marriage. That's a first in Asia. We talked about that. We also talked about Donald Trump doing a great job, follows through on threat to cancel $1 billion for California high-speed rail. Yeah, I like high-speed rail, folks. I just think it needs to be done in the private sector. The Communist Manifesto calls for government control of transportation. Beware. Transportation, good. High-speed trains, phenomenal. Government involvement, bad news. Government funding, even worse. Good for the Donald. Shutting down $1 billion of funding for that behemoth failure in California. Sadly, Utah lawmakers passed 574 bills this last legislative session, setting a record. That's a sad tale to tell, I'll tell you what right now. You know what? We got the Ten Commandments, and if people would obey those, it would do more than the, you know, gazillion laws passed every single year. Think about it, 574 laws in one single state. That doesn't count your federal government, doesn't count the other 49 states either, not to mention local municipalities on top of it all. I mean, it's just out of control. But again, when you don't have a moral compass, when you don't follow God's laws, you need three gazillion laws to make up for it all. Sad to say. Anyway, that is a recap of Saturday's show. It's still available online if you're interested. LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word, would you please? Free and online. Talk radio at your fingertips, live and on demand. If you have the heart to donate and help, every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, well, before we get to our guest, Alan Phillips, our good friend, his next court hearing is today. Will they throw him in the clink? We pray not. But it's not looking good for our buddy Alan Phillips. He's a vaccine rights attorney. He's been one man who has stood for the truth for a long time now. And sadly, they're literally trying to just shut him down. They're disobeying the law. They have conflict of interest everywhere. He's really accused of doing nothing wrong, but he's in contempt of court because he won't turn over his client attorney privilege files. They say he has to. He says there's no requirement. You're violating the law. They say you're in jail. No due process, out of control. government's faking and manipulating evidence everywhere. Our prayers are with Alan Phillips. All right, without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. Welcome back, my brother.
Good to be back, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
So much to talk about, so little time to get it done. Our prayers are with Alan Phillips. You know who Alan Phillips is, too, don't you, Lowell?
Well, I've listened to him on the radio for years, mainly because you've had him on your show, Sam, and I appreciate his tremendous work. I'm sorry that they are badgering him the way they are, but I pray that the outcome will be good today for him.
Amen to that. All right, Political Leadership School coming up on July 27th, so just over a month, about a month and a week away, in Sandy, Utah, held by Campaign for Liberty, sir.
It's been a couple of years since we've sponsored this, Sam, but we're delighted to sponsor this one again. Every year we did this, I think we did it almost every year from about 2008 to 2016 for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. It's always been well attended. We're expecting, 50, 60, 70 people to attend. It will be taught by a national level instructor, one of several who have years of experience putting these principles to work in multiple states. So who should come? Well, this is a class for political activists. Anybody who's liberty-minded, going to be all day, 9 to 5. You'll learn how to become more effective in politics, how to make the politicians do what you want them to do. If you are tired of crony capitalism, tired of corporate handouts, tired of politicians looking out only for their best interests, their next election, then this class is for you.
And it's on a Saturday, right?
It is Saturday.
All day long on Saturday. Campaignforliberty.org. Click on Utah, and you'll have the opportunity to sign up immediately, Lowell.
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to publicize that.
Well, please do. And by the way, we want to highlight that. Don't let me forget. We want to highlight that each week until it comes.
Excellent. Thank you very much. You will learn the real nature of politics in this class. You'll learn about the biggest lie in politics. You'll learn how to work effectively at the Capitol, how to put pressure on your legislators to do what they really ought to be doing if they understood, truly understood, the proper role of government. That's what we are able to do.
And this is where a lot of people feel disenfranchised, Lowell, and they just feel like there's nothing they can do. And I'm telling you, you can come to this incredible all-day-long seminar and learn different. You're not completely disenfranchised. You're not completely out of the game. There are absolutely effective things you can do to make a difference and be involved and have your voice heard. Don't believe the lie otherwise.
Absolutely right. And thanks for mentioning this. The website, campaignforliberty.org/Utah. You just click the link to attend this boot camp, and away you go. I'll be there myself, and I hope that you'll join me.
All right, is there a cost for that?
There's a $40 cost. It's $40 until 2 weeks before the course when the price goes up. So click now, get in, get your seat, and put it on your calendar. Sam?
All right, one of the highlights is there's national teachers who have experience all over the country. This isn't just a kind of a, oh, we think we did something and it works. This is literally historical reality about those who have been involved for a long time and what they have gleaned as effective. And it's national teachers coming to Utah, bringing the information. This isn't just kind of a one person thinks they know what to do kind of an idea. This is tried and true tactics from those who have been involved from legislatures all over the country, right?
Absolutely right, Sam. And next time I'll have maybe some stories that will illustrate how effective this is. But one right off the top of the bat that comes to mind, of course, is the red light cameras in Arizona. Sean Dow has been down there, and we've had him on the show here before, but he has effectively stymied those who wanted red light cameras in Arizona. It's just a revenue-gaining scheme. So basically he, Sean, and others, using the principles learned in this class, have been able to get the red light cameras out of Arizona. So,
amen. I dig it. We'll keep up on this theme for the next several weeks to make sure y'all know about it and that you can spread the word and make time and get involved. Political Leadership School happening July 27th. It's a Saturday all day long in Sandy, Utah. And if you want to go to campaignforliberty.org/Utah, you can sign up and check it out. A lot of times people come from surrounding states as well. So get your seat and get it early and get a seat for your buddy. And this is the time to reject the we're all disenfranchised, there's nothing we can do mode, and stand up and get involved and find out solutions that really work. Ideas and guidelines that are proven successful, just tremendous stuff. Speaking of education on true and necessary understandings, we need to talk a little bit about the necessary and proper clause in the supreme law of our land. Most folks don't even know a whole lot about it. And when they do, they don't understand the truth regarding Clause 18. Lol.
Well, thank you. The necessary and proper clause is found in Article 1, Section 8. Now, everybody knows that's where the authorization to the national legislature was given. Well, actually, the legislative branch of the general government should not be called national legislature. We don't have a single nation. We have a republic of 50 states. A federated republic that we have. So anyway, the necessary and proper clause is found as the final clause, clause 18 of Article 1, Section 8. And it says, quote, the Congress shall have power. And we'll get back to that, I'm sure, after this break, Sam.
Clause 18, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the necessary and proper clause in the Constitution. What does it mean? What is it for? How do we use it? It's incredibly valuable if you have the knowledge. That's what Liberty Roundtable Live is all about. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio, continuing in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Telling you right now, we need more of the power of love in America, ladies and gentlemen. Love for the sacred cause of liberty, for starters. Love for the keeping the commandments of God as well. Love for God, family, and country. Love for the protection of life, liberty, and property. We need a lot of love to go around, I'll tell you that right now. How about love for the supreme law of our land, the Constitution of the United States of America? Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is with us. And we're talking about the necessary and proper clause. Clause 18 says, Lowell,
the Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. End of quote. Now, most people, when they think about the necessary and proper clause, they just read the very, very first part. They abbreviate it to say, the Congress shall have power to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper. Well, that leads into the misunderstanding that the federal government can make any law it wants that they deem necessary to the function of government and proper for them to do. They do not qualify that declaration with the rest of the words in Clause 18, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. And because they don't qualify that statement, that gives them license, they believe, to make any law they want to, any that's convenient and, and that they can get passed.
This dovetails nicely, Lowell, with the previous where we talked about the Supremacy Clause. Hey, the United States Constitution is only supreme within the appropriately delegated authority thus granted by the consent of the governed. This highlights the same principle, but more detail.
Exactly. As explained repeatedly by the advocates for the Constitution during the ratification debate in 1787 and 8, this clause really is not a grant of power. They said this openly, over and over. It is what lawyers call a recital. If the provision were absent, the correct legal interpretation of the Constitution would be exactly the same. So this clause...
By the way, this acts akin to the Bill of Rights to the Constitution, if you will.
Yeah, exactly right. In fact, it is simply an explanatory function. This clause has an explanatory function. It helps to clarify the meaning and to prevent useless arguments about Article 1, Section 8 clauses.
It clarifies the meaning and highlights the intent.
Yeah. And one of the things that they argued about was, okay, the Congress shall have power to establish post roads. What does that really mean? Does that grant Congress the authority to actually spend money to build a post road and establish a post office, right? And so they were worried that strict constructionists might say, well, the Congress has the authority to establish post road, but they don't have the authority to spend money and actually engage bulldozers and ditch diggers to actually make that happen. And so they said, they added this clause, this final clause of Article 1, Section 8, to clarify that they actually would have the power, you know, to make the laws which would carry into the execution or carry into reality, carry into effect every one of the powers specified in the first 17 clauses of Article 1, Section 8.
And this is where they would say we're anti-government, and we would say false, completely false. This is where we stand for the proper role of government. We do believe this grants incredible authority to the federal government, but only within the scope that it articulates. In other words, only within the supreme law of the land and the articulated, delegated powers and authorities. In other words, we support the power. It's just got to be proper in scope, that's all.
Exactly right. Now, there was a subscriber to the Philadelphia Independent Gazetteer in 1787 who in October submitted a letter to the editor of that paper, and it appeared on October 19th. I just want to quote a couple of things he said because it clarifies this necessary and proper clause. He says this, quote, in the eighth section, the power of Congress is declared and defined in several particulars, but as it was impossible to make all the laws at one time, which might be necessary to provide for the modes of exercising those powers, there is a general clause introduced which is confined to the powers given expressly.
Now, hold on. I want you to repeat that one more time.
There is a general clause introduced which is confined to the powers given expressly by this Constitution to the Congress, that he's talking about Clause 18. It is to make all laws which will be necessary and proper. It's not so much power as every other legislative body on the continent has, he goes on. He says, for the powers of this Congress are confined to what is expressly delegated to them, and this clause for enforcing their powers is confined merely to such as are explicitly mentioned. End of quote. So that's the proper understanding. That's the understanding that the founding generation had about Article 1, Section 18, Section 8. All of those clauses, those 18 clauses, basically the 17 clauses that authorize Congress to do things, well, Clause 18 simply says those first 17 are their powers. That's the authority given to them. And I'm just saying that they can make laws which carry those explicitly named powers into effect. But it's confined just to those explicitly named and enumerated powers.
In other words, there's an articulated list of delegated authorities, and they have certainly the ability and the power and the authority per Clause 18 to back that up and carry it all the way through. That's right, and we support that. But remember, it's limited in scope. They have that authority and nothing more. Understand, that's the reality, nothing more. And that's where I think this whole thing goes off the rails. We think the Supremacy Clause means supremacy over everything, even God, sadly. And we think this idea of this Necessary and Proper Clause gives them authority to do whatever is necessary and whatever is proper anytime, anywhere. That isn't necessary, and it isn't proper. That's the reality check we bring to the table, Lowell.
Excellent, Sam. Absolutely right. And to highlight how far off the rails Congress is, last week, Sam, you discussed the Equality Act in U.S. Congress and demonstrated your opposition to it. I wanted to add my own opposition to it because the Campaign for Liberty on a national stage co-signed a letter, a statement, basically, in opposition to the Equality Act. And so we wanted to add our voice to yours, Sam, right here on Liberty Roundtable, and to give you the results of the vote on this bill that occurred in the U.S. House.
So let's be clear, this Equality Act is bad news, folks. It's kind of like the Patriot Act. It betrays the very name of itself, if you will. But they're very good at naming things to deceive you. It is not equality at all. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Southern Baptists, and the Catholics all put their views in against this bill. Campaign for Liberty does the same. And if you go to campaignforliberty.org, they can, you can read the letter and get an understanding of exactly what their statements are on the topic. But understand, this Equality Act is not equality at all. Now understand that it's already passed not only committee, which we brought it up before when it was in committee and tried to stop it. It passed committee. Then it went to the House. It passed the House. This is getting 10 times more traction than anybody thought it possibly could or would, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. It passed the House Friday. That was just two, 3 days ago, Friday, May 17th, by a vote of 236 to 173. So Ben McAdams voted for this bill. The other three of our U.S. representatives here in Utah voted against it. You should look that up, no matter what state you're in, and find out how your U.S. representatives voted on this bill, and then call them up and make sure that they know that they either voted right or voted wrong. This is a terrible bill, Sam. the titles of these bills belie their consequences. Well, the title of this bill belies its consequences. It will undermine parental rights and the pro-life and conscience rights of medical professionals. It will undermine that. It will make environments inherently unfair, unequal, and unsafe for women and curtail religious freedom for both religious organizations and people of faith. The Equality Act will elevate transgender theory and gender-affirming care to the level of a civil right. Counselors will be prohibited from helping gender dysphoric children become comfortable with their own bodies. Medical professionals will be vulnerable to lawsuits if they decline to perform hormonal or medical procedures on patients who identify as transgender. In public schools, curriculum could teach children that their sex is not a biological reality.
And when we say could teach children, that's already happening in many venues across the country, folks. Don't be deceived. Lowell Nelson has more details. We'll recap who voted for what. I'm telling you, you got to oppose this to all senators everywhere, and you got to get involved now. You think this is a joke? Well, you know what? A lot of people think that, but I'm telling you right now, it is no joke. It already passed the House. It's going to the Senate. It's time for all Americans to stand in the culture war. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's rocked the nation, but some of Alabama's own residents are among those protesting the state's new strict abortion ban. A protester at a Mobile, Alabama rally yesterday says the new abortion ban is unfair.
Especially with the rape and incest being included and nobody being allowed to get an abortion, what are you going to do when you have a 12-year-old who's been raped and is forced to carry out that pregnancy?
It's seen as the nation's strictest anti-abortion law, and it was signed into law by Governor Kay Ivey last week without exceptions for rape or incest. Meanwhile, an amendment designed to make abortion unconstitutional in Louisiana is heading to the state Senate today. President Trump is turning up the heat on Iran, tweeting yesterday that, quote, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. And he warned Iran not to threaten the United States. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Thunderstorms setting off a swarm of tornadoes across the plain states over the weekend, and they could bring even more bad weather today, as forecasters say thunderstorms could produce more twisters across parts of the southern plains. A man is dead after a shooting at a Florida mosque. It happened just after midnight in the parking lot of the Islamic Society of Tampa Bay Mosque, and deputies say the suspect and the victim knew each other, and the shooting happened during an argument, the suspect now in custody. It's no secret that President Trump uses Twitter a lot as his primary method of communication, and he addressed his use of Twitter in an interview that aired last night on Fox.
I've destroyed bills that were going to be voted on that were bad, and I've gotten bills passed that were good by using Twitter. And Twitter is really a typewriter for me. It's really not Twitter. It's Twitter goes on television. If they have breaking news, I'll tweet. I'll say, watch this. Boom.
That on Fox is The Next Revolution with Steve Hilton, and this is USA Radio News.
Live and on your radio with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ladies and gentlemen. The Equality Act is absolutely unfair to women. This bill was approved by the U.S. House by a vote of 236 to 173. Ben McAdams of Utah voted for it. The other three House representatives in Utah, thank heavens, voted against it. This thing is disaster, ladies and gentlemen. It's not equality at all. It is absolutely belligerent, and it destroys religious rights on the altar of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights. And if you think this stuff's not being taught in your government schools right now, beware, because it is. And it'll be even more so if this passes. It will literally codify and unleash the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda against all Christians, all conservatives, everywhere. We must call all senators and urge them to oppose this bill. I don't know when it's going to hit the Senate. They're going to twist arms and play games, and while we have a focus on it, they're going to act like it's just stalled and nothing. And then the second we take our eye off the ball, they're going to pitch a fast one, lol.
You've been around the block a few times before, Sam. Despite the title, this Equality Act actually undermines the rights of women and girls, Sam. It forces them to share private facilities with anyone claiming to identify as a woman. It also diminishes the ability of women to quite literally compete on an equal playing field. Males who identify as women are already beginning to dominate women's sports and strip female athletes of the opportunity to fairly compete for medals and scholarships. This ban will only increase as colleges, universities, and franchise sports teams begin to prioritize men identifying women above biological women. And so, you know, this was just two or three paragraphs from a little longer statement. You can read on campaignforliberty.org. It's a longer statement, but I chose some of the most alarming because this is absolutely alarming.
Well, and the reality is you think this is a joke and you think, oh, my gosh, this will never, ever have any traction. It's just too radical. It's too extreme. It's too crazy. And you're right about the radical, extreme, crazy part. Where you're wrong is that this will not get traction. It already passed the House, folks. Now you say, well, it'll get stopped in the Senate. I pray you're right, but don't take it for granted. Well, Donald will never shine. I agree. I pray you're right. But I'm telling you, if you take your eye off the ball and if you don't stand up now, when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when the Southern Baptists, and when the Catholic Church, all three stand up blatantly against this bill saying, hey, this will absolutely obliterate religious rights, you better take notice, folks. And we must call all senators. We better take action and urge them to oppose this extremism bill now. When we say Equality Act, it is not equality at all. It is actually, I would change it to the Perversion Act. I would change it to the codifying of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and Q, whatever that stands for. I don't know if it stands for queer or questioning or what, but all I'm telling you is they literally want to obliterate religious freedom and religious rights, and they want to force their agenda down the throats of churches, schools, and I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet if this stuff gets more traction. Beware, my fellow Americans, beware. All right, we sound the alarm. We don't believe we're overstating the issue. In fact, we may be understating the issue of how extreme this is because once it's codified into law, it's kind of like Roe versus Wade. It's going to be very, very, very difficult to take back, Lowell.
You're absolutely right, Sam. And in the context of our earlier discussion about necessary and proper, the rights of citizens within the several states is not an authority granted to the general government in Article 1, Section 8. So you can simply, this bill on its face is unconstitutional.
Now, in other words, it's necessary and proper that we the people shut that sucker down.
That's right. Will it be ruled unconstitutional? Well, probably not, because everybody in the Supreme Court most likely is for the aggregation of power within the general government. Certainly the Congress is arrogating to themselves this power. The president continues to arrogate to the executive throne all of this kind of power. So I have no hope that the general government, officers in the general government, will rule this as unconstitutional, even though it is unconstitutional. That's where you and I have to step up, my fellow citizens, and persuade our U.S. senators to kill this bill when it reaches the Senate. Never let it see the light of day, and thus preserve the rights that you have as citizens in your state. Sam?
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get involved, I'll tell you that right now. No time but the present. John Bolton, that guy's an absolute nutcase, sir.
You're exactly right, Sam. He's been around for many administrations. He worked mischief during the Bush administrations, and he's working mischief right now during the Trump administration. One of the things that he just did, Sam, last week, was he slammed the door on Major League Baseball on Cuba, believe it or not. He ended an agreement. Now, this agreement allowed baseball players from Cuba safe passage to the United States to play Major League Baseball. That was the agreement. Well, he upended that just last week. He ended it. And so it makes you wonder, first of all, who's running the Trump administration? Is it Bolton or Trump? But I don't know, maybe Trump has too many irons in the fire, can't keep his finger on all of his players. But if I were him, I would get rid of Bolton yesterday, get somebody in there who agrees with and mirrors Trump's understanding of foreign policy, because Bolton is just creating problems all over the place. This act by Bolton will result in Cuba's most talented baseball players seeking out human smugglers in order to play professional baseball. Why do I say that? Well, it's because they will pay human traffickers to smuggle them from Cuba into the United States so they can have a shot at playing Major League Baseball. So they paid large sums of money to human traffickers to get themselves and their family members out, which results in a dangerous trip out of the country, and then many of the family members left behind in Cuba get threatened by the government. And it's just criminal human trafficking enterprises. They extort money. They make it dangerous for people crossing the water there from Cuba to the United States. And once the players leave, they often cannot go back to Cuba. And if they don't make the team here, then they're left penniless, right, jobless, many of them without able to speak the language, and they can't go back to their homeland. So this is bad all the way around, and Ron Paul is the one who wrote this column. He ends it this way. He says, quote, "The idea of freedom is defined by the ability of citizens to live without government interference. Athletes who want to escape a totalitarian society to come to a free society should be welcomed with open arms, yet they are being prevented from coming to America to play a professional sport because of one man. America was founded on the idea of merit-based advancement and freedom from tyranny. Mr. Bolton's actions to punish baseball fans and Cuban nationals lies in the face of liberty." End of quote. Sam?
It's tough to even focus on this, but what I don't understand is, why do we want to control the movement of people? Why do we want to control the freedom of people to choose a better way, a better life, a better circumstance? I don't understand what the opposition is about, Lowell.
Well, Bolton gave the reason that this particular agreement between Cuba and the United States is in support of Venezuela. That was the connection.
It doesn't make any sense. I think we ought to support Venezuela being free, but stay out of it. Leave it to the private sector, and I think we ought to do the same for Cuba.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got to have open trade and open negotiations and open discussions, and pretty soon they'll realize we're the good guys. With what we're doing now, then they can't help but think we're the bad guys.
Right. We have a couple friends who just they went to Cuba for the second time. They first went last year once for a week, and then went again about a month ago for a week. And they love going to Cuba. And it's a fun place, and they've invited us to go back with them the next time around. But this type of hard hand of the U.S. administration, slapping sanctions on Cuba, and then saying, "Well, we're going to break our agreements. Now we're going to make it tougher for you guys to make a living. We're going to it's just crazy."
All we're doing is forcing these countries into the arms of the enemy, into the arms of ideologies that we absolutely oppose, or at least in theory. And I say in theory because we personally, as the people, oppose them. But it seems like government seems to embrace a lot of these principles. Speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, Iran is not a sponsor of terrorism, not even close. The depiction of Iran as the world's leading state sponsor of terror is not even factual. Lowell's got details in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Suggesting that the Iran government is the world's leading state sponsor of terror is not supported by the facts, lol. I don't think Americans realize this. Propaganda is just too great.
Well, it certainly is propaganda. Larry Johnson is the author of a column posted at ronpaulinstitute.org, posted there last Thursday. He simply makes the point that Iran is not a major sponsor of terrorism, not even close. He then refers to the list of terrorist incidents for 2018 found on Wikipedia. He first considers January 2018. Now, I'm not a big fan of Wikipedia, but for the most part, it's not bad. And for a lot of things, it's very, really quite good. But even on Wikipedia, which is a publicly edited website, I mean, anybody can put anything they want on Wikipedia. But there are listed there in January 2018, 160 attacks, that's 160, 160 terrorist attacks in January of 2018. Now, only one of the groups listed as perpetrators is supported by Iran, and that is Hamas. The incident recorded for Hamas in January was a drive-by shooting that killed one person. Six groups accounted for 56% of all attacks. All are Sunni extremist groups, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram, the Islamic State, a.k.a. ISIS, and the Taliban. None of these are funded or supported by Iran. In fact, Iran and Hezbollah have been fighting and killing ISIS fighters in Syria, right? So then he looks at February, looks at March, and so forth throughout the year. And so he stands by his conclusion, Sam, which is a memo that he published 18 months ago. This is Larry Johnson. He wrote a memo 18 months ago, and in that he concluded this, quote, "The depiction of Iran as the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism is not supported by the facts. While Iran is guilty of having used terrorism as a national policy tool in the past."
Now, let me stop you there, though. So has the United States, and the United States currently does so, sir.
Currently does so. The United States administration is perhaps the biggest sponsor of terrorism today, one of the biggest bullies in the world, certainly, in an effort to prop up the petrodollar, and as we've discussed before. But Iran is not the major sponsor of terrorism. It's not the Iran of 1981. In the early days of the Islamic Republic, Iranian operatives routinely carried out car bombings, kidnappings and assassinations of dissidents and of American citizens. But this has not been the case for many years. That was his statement 18 months ago, Sam. Larry Johnson, and he stands by that statement today. So when someone tries to tell you that Iran is the world's biggest sponsor of terrorism, or even a major sponsor of terrorism, well, then you can direct them to Wikipedia, where they can learn for themselves that such is not the case, not even close, Sam.
All right, this is an important principle to understand. When we're in a over 130 nations, militarily speaking. When we spend way, way, way more money on training and arming and funding regimes and terrorist nations and et cetera across the world, ladies and gentlemen, we are the backers of the biggest military-industrial complex the world's ever known. We fund and train and arm just countless, countless organizations and groups and countries and I don't know what you call them, dictatorships, and we undermine one with another, and we play both sides, and, well, let's stop the bad dictator with a up-and-coming dictator, and let's and we just go on and on and on. It has got to stop, folks. And the problem is we've become the world's, how do you say this word, dictress?
Dictatress.
Dictatress is how you say it. All right. We have become out of control, and you got to understand that John Quincy Adams highlighted this reality. George Washington had a humble foreign policy. And what's weird to me is when we speak out for that, they just go, oh, you're soft on war. No, no, no. I'm absolutely hardcore on defense of the greatest country on the face of the earth, but I'm not for agitation. I'm not for manipulation. I'm not for arming, training, and funding those who will turn against us. I am for a humble foreign policy. I am not for intervention. I am not for nation building. This is the same view the founders had. We've just lost sight of this reality. You know what? Ron Paul has been attacked over this, but he has an identical foreign policy as George Washington had and as Quincy Adams, John Quincy Adams had as well. Americans don't even realize that's what their founders stood for, lol.
In 1821, on Independence Day, John Quincy Adams, then the U.S. Secretary of State, coined this term dictatress. And basically, it's the female version of dictator, right? Dictatress, that's the word dictatress. He said that if America were ever to abandon its founding foreign policy of non-interventionism, then she would inevitably become the world's dictatress and begin behaving accordingly.
And I submit to you, that's what she has become on steroids.
Adam's prediction has come true. America has truly become the world's dictatress, an arrogant, ruthless, brutal dictatress that brooks no dissent from anyone in the world. Now, this article I chose, Jacob G. Hornberger is the author. He writes hard-hitting columns, Sam, and he had like two or three columns there last week on RonPaulInstitute.org. I only had time to choose one of the two or three, and this is the one I chose because he highlights the hypocrisy of our U.S. foreign policy, this interventionist foreign policy. And so he cites the arrest of Meng Wanzhou. Now, Meng is a Chinese citizen who is the CFO of a Chinese technology firm, Huawei. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It's H-U-A-W-E-I, Huawei. Anyway, I'm going to just call it Huawei. It's a telecommunications giant, Sam. They produce telephones and satellite technology and radio and telephone and so forth. Anyway, it's a telecom giant. And here she's the CFO of a telecom giant. She's not a U.S. citizen. She's not even in the United States. And yet she was arrested in Canada by Canadian police and placed under house arrest. What was her crime, you ask? It was allegedly violating U.S. sanctions against Iran. What? She's not a U.S. citizen. She's Chinese citizen. She's not on U.S. soil. She's in Canadian soil. And so why is she being prosecuted by the U.S. government? Well, Hornberger answers.
Well, and let's be clear. She's supposedly involved with Iran, a China woman on Canadian soil. I mean, you know, you've got so many countries mixed into this. But again, with the petrodollar, with a big stick, when, you know, America has become the, what is it, dictatress?
Yep.
Okay, then, you know, what do you expect? Every nation must capitulate. And I'm telling you, this will eventually result in the blowback that will absolutely bring America to war if we don't stop it. Other nations will eventually gang up against us and say, this belligerent behemoth has got to be stopped. And I submit to you, that's what will create World War III if we don't quit it, if we don't cut it out, if we don't have a humble foreign policy. if we don't keep our nose out of these other people's businesses. Look, Canada feels forced to go along. Then Iran, forced to be shut down. The Chinese government in the middle of it going, wait a minute, what are you doing to our citizen? I'm just telling you right now, this can have no lasting value. It'll just be trouble, lol. And you can see it as we continue to flex our muscles everywhere all the time. How dare you cross us? How dare you have your own sovereignty? How dare you think different than the dictates we force around the world?
Exactly right. And to answer the question, why is she being prosecuted by the U.S. government? Well, Hornberger's answer is this: sanctions. It is sanctions. The sanctions that we slapped on Iran, she is allegedly guilty of violating sanctions because she transferred money in a bank thousands of miles offshore from the United States, either to Iran or from Iran or something like that. Anyway, she allegedly violated these sanctions that the U.S. placed on Iran. Well, Sir Hornberger says this. He writes, sanctions have become a standard tool of U.S. foreign policy. With the exception of libertarians, hardly anyone raises an eyebrow over their imposition and enforcement. Their objective is to target foreign citizens with death, suffering, and economic privation as a way to bend their regime to the will of the U.S. dictatress and her brutal and ruthless agents. End of quote, right? And so I really think we need to realize, folks, that the citizens in Iran and in Venezuela, they have as little control over their government as we do here. I mean, think of it. Here, you're one in 300 million people here. What control do you have over our government? Well, same thing for people in Venezuela. Same thing for people in Iran. And sanctions do not.
Well, I would submit even more so, Lowell. They have even less control over their dictatorships.
Yeah, they do. And therefore, sanctions do not achieve their stated goal. What they do, though, is end up killing people and starving people. Remember when the U.S. sanctioned Iraq in 1990? The sanctions were killing hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children. That is blood on our hands, Sam. But that didn't bother the dictators, at least not enough to end the sanctions. And so it goes beyond that. Not just this Chinese citizen, but there's an American citizen named Bert Sachs who was stricken by a crisis of conscience, traveled to Iraq with medicines to help out the Iraqi people. This is the 1990s. Well, the dictatoress, meaning the U.S. administration, went after him with a vengeance, Sam, hitting him with a fine and then pursuing its collection for around a decade. That is bad enough, but here's where John Quincy Adams' point comes into play. The federal government is not satisfied with just requiring its own citizens to comply with its evil system. In its role as worldwide dictatress, the federal government requires everyone in the world to comply with its evil system. The dictatress claims worldwide jurisdiction for its evil system of sanctions. And so, Sam, that is why Meng Wanzhou was arrested in Canada. It's why they hassled Bert Sachs, who's just a citizen who went over to Iraq to help the people with medicine. And now the U.S. administration comes after him because he had a humanitarian heart. He had empathy for the people of Iraq, like you and I do, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, and he goes to help them. And what's the reward he gets? Well, he gets a fine and prosecution by the dictatress, this U.S. administration, this engine of interventionist foreign policy around the world, Sam.
It's time to reach out to your public servants immediately, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell, what should they tell them?
Tell them, insist that the U.S. end its interventionist foreign policy. We cannot afford the cost economically because we're bankrupt, folks. We cannot afford the blowback because that turns into existential threats against Americans, making us less safe internationally. Nor can we afford the loss of lives of our brothers and sisters around the world, because that is moral depravity, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, we the people need to get involved like no other. CampaignForLiberty.org, providing lead, guidance, support, training, organization, inclusion, solutions, and more. CampaignForLiberty.org. Thanks, Lowell. Godspeed, brother. We'll have you back soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.